Hello and welcome to this Expert HR podcast with me, Laura Merrilies. Today I'm joined by Susie Munro, Senior Employment Law Editor here at Expert HR, to talk about data subject access requests under the GDPR. Susie, kicking off with the fundamentals, what is a data subject access request and what does the GDPR say about a person's right to access data?
So it's a fundamental principle of data protection that people should be able to know what data others have about them and how it's being processed. So individuals have the right to request access to their data, and that's called a data subject access request, or a SAR or DSAR for short. The data controller, and in our case we're talking about employers, has to confirm whether or not they're processing the individual's data, and if they are, provide copies of the data requested and information about how it's being processed.
Okay, so from HR's point of view, they're likely to be dealing with subject access requests from employees and job applicants in particular. And they're obviously going to be used to dealing with such requests before the GDPR came into force. But how are things different now from the previous regime?
One difference is that in the past, they might have charged a £10 fee for responding to a request. Not all employers would have bothered with that, but now you'd only be able to charge a fee if the request is manifestly unfounded or excessive, or if you're providing extra copies. We'll come on to talk more about unfounded or excessive requests in a bit. But the other changes, very briefly, are that you may have to respond more quickly and you have to provide more information.
Okay, so going back to fees, how much could you charge?
It's a reasonable fee just to cover administrative costs. The Data Protection Act 2018 includes provision for the government to set limits on the fees that can be charged, but that's not been done yet.
And another change is that you have to provide the employee with more information about their data.
Yes, there's some additional information, and that includes the retention period for the data that you didn't have to provide under the previous Data Protection Act. And you also have to inform them of their other rights, for example, to request rectification or erasure of the data, and also their right to complain to the ICO. That's the Information Commissioner's Office, which is the UK data protection regulator. I won't go through the full list of information that has to be provided in response to a request. We've got a how-to guide that sets out the detail. That's how to respond to subject access requests from employees under the GDPR.
So the information about individuals' rights in relation to their data is something that should already have been included in a privacy notice that an employer should have provided to employees and job candidates.
Yes, all the information should already have been included in a privacy notice, but the GDPR requires it to be provided again on request. So that makes sense because the employee may have received the privacy notice some time ago, or the employer may not have properly complied with its duties to provide the information previously.
Can you briefly tell us what's new with regards to the timescale for responding?
The main thing to say on that is that while the basic time limit for responding has been reduced from 40 days to 1 month, there's now scope for the employer to extend that deadline by an extra 2 months where the request is complex. So that may make things easier in some situations.
Okay, and you're talking there about requests that are complex. I mean, by their nature, subject access requests are likely to be pretty complex. So presumably employers are just going to have some kind of system or some sort of testing mechanism to work out when they receive a request what is more likely to be complex than not, and then be able to justify the extension based on that.
Yeah, so an employer will need to explain why it needs to extend the time limit. So it has to be able to show that it's applied its mind to that.
So how can an employer recognise a valid subject access request? Does the employee have to state that they're making a subject access request?
No, there are no requirements for the format in which a request is made. The ICO has confirmed that a subject access request that's made verbally will be valid. And that's a change from the previous regime, which required them to be in writing. So that potentially presents problems for employers in identifying and keeping track of requests and how they're responded to.
So it's going to be important to have procedures in place that all staff are aware of, and in particular, I suppose, managers who may receive a request.
Yes. So while an employer can provide a form for employees or candidates to use when making a request, they can't insist on it being used.
Okay, so if you as an employee receive a verbal request, you have to ensure that it's dealt with in the same way as a formal written request.
Yes, the best course of action is to have all subject access requests coordinated centrally, say by HR or a data protection specialist within the organisation, rather than trying to train all managers to be able to respond themselves. So the important thing is to make sure that managers know how to recognise a SAR and who to refer it to.
And it would still be a good idea, I suppose, to provide a form for employees to use, even though as an employee you can't insist on it, because at least it would lead to the request being a bit clearer and perhaps more manageable.
Yes, Expert HR provides a model form for that purpose. The example on the form encourages employees to be specific about what they're requesting and to narrow it down, so limiting it to emails within a certain time period in that example. But if an employee were to say that they want everything the employer holds about them, the employer would still have to respond to that.
Okay, so that suggests that there could be, you know, a large amount of data involved. Gathering it and providing access is going to be a significant task. In practice, how should employers go about that?
Well, they should try to narrow the request down. They can ask the employee to provide extra information to clarify exactly what they're asking for. But having an up-to-date data register is going to be a big help with responding to a request. This is a requirement of the GDPR. Data controllers have to have a record of their processing activities. If you've done a good job with putting that together, it should be easier to see where a particular employee's data is being processed. And what categories of data there are and what it's being processed for. Again, the how-to guide contains practical guidance on searching for the different types of data that an employer may have to provide access to, and that includes making sure you provide access to data that's being processed on your behalf by a third party, such as a benefits provider.
You mentioned earlier, Susie, that the employee has the right to a copy of their data. Does that mean, as an employee, you have to print everything out, or can it be sent electronically?
The GDPR actually says that if the request is made electronically, the information has to be provided in a commonly used electronic form, unless the employee requests otherwise. So it says, where possible, the controller should provide remote access to a secure system to provide the data subject with direct access to his or her personal data. Now, the ICO describes that as a best practice recommendation, and it recognises that it won't be appropriate for all organisations. So an employer could provide access via a password-protected drive, or it could provide PDF versions of the documents, for example. It'll depend how much information there is and the technical capabilities of the employer.
Are there situations when you can refuse to provide access to the data, when you can actually just say no as an employer?
So we mentioned earlier that if a request is manifestly unfounded or excessive, you can charge a fee for complying with it. But alternatively, you could actually refuse to provide access.
Okay, so looking at that manifestly unfounded or excessive, I mean, that's the wording that's used in the GDPR. What does that mean?
There's not a lot of guidance on that yet. The only expansion on that wording in the GDPR is that it says, in particular, where a request is repetitive. If an employer refuses to comply with a subject access request, the employee would be able to complain to the ICO, and it would be for the ICO to judge if the request was manifestly unfounded or excessive. But it's worth remembering that an employee does have the right to make multiple similar requests, as the data that's held about them could change over time. The employer isn't necessarily entitled to refuse to respond just because they've previously answered a similar request. It's all going to depend on what's reasonable in the circumstances.
Are there any other exceptions where you don't have to provide copies of the data?
The GDPR says that subject access rights must not adversely affect the rights and freedoms of others. This is expanded on in the Data Protection Act 2018, which sets out some exemptions in areas where the GDPR allows member states to set their own rules. The Act says you don't have to disclose information where it would include information about another person unless that person's consented or it's reasonable to disclose the information without their consent. The how-to guide covers how to deal with a situation like this and deciding when it might be reasonable or otherwise to withhold information that identifies a third party. Basically, it's the same position as under the Data Protection Act 1998. The rules have just been translated into the new Data Protection Act 2018.
And the how-to guide also sets out the other exceptions where an employer can refuse to provide the data.
Yes, one that's worth mentioning that's different under the 2018 Data Protection Act from the 1998 Act is in relation to references. Previously, it was only the employer that provided a reference that was exempt from providing a copy of that reference to the employee that it was about. Now the exemption also covers the employer that received the reference. So neither of them have to give the employee a copy of the reference, but they can choose to do so.
And if an employer fails to comply with responding to a data subject access request or numerous requests, what's the upshot of that? What's the sanction?
So an employee can complain to the ICO, which has a number of enforcement powers. Ultimately, an employer could face a heavy fine for a systemic failure to comply with subject access requests.
We've been speaking quite a lot about the how-to guide, but we've also got a number of model policies and documents on subject access requests on Expert HR.
Yes, so there are letters for various stages of the process, and there's a model form for employees to use to submit a request, as we mentioned earlier. There's also a model register of subject access requests. Employers may be aware that an important principle under the GDPR is that they should be able to demonstrate how they're complying. So keeping a register of requests that the employer has received and how they've been dealt with is part of showing that they are taking subject access rights seriously.
Well, thanks very much, Susie. And to link through to the resources we've been talking about today and plenty others on the GDPR, do go to our GDPR trending topic page, which you can find under the topics tab. Well, that brings us to the end of this Expert HR podcast. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again next time.